Father, help us to just be tender and open to you this morning. A lot of things are on our minds, on our hearts. We walk through those doors. There are concerns and weights that we carry that oftentimes interfere with what you want to do and what you want to accomplish. So I would ask that you would just help us to set those things aside, that we would be open to you and to your word, to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that we would be able to come to the communion table ready, and grateful, and excited for who you are and what you've done. For we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. If I ask the question, are you one of the now and then type of people? You know what I'm getting at? You know, if I was to ask Tim if he picks up his underwear and he says now and then, you know, just picking on you, Tim. Or if I was to ask you, do you tell your wife or do you tell your husband that you love them? And you respond, every now and then. That's probably not necessarily a good thing, right? Or if I was to ask you if you read your Bible and you say, every now and then. Now somebody's going to start responding to me now and then. That's not what I'm driving at, because even like a blind squirrel, we find a nut now and then. But what I'm asking is, are you one of those people that live now for them? Are you following me? You will before a moment, in a minute. But there are a lot of people that live for now. It's the philosophy to eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. We're here on this earth for a very short time, and we put all of our effort, all of our energy, all of our time, and it consumes us, the now. Our busy schedules, the schedules that our children have, the busyness of life, our church activities, the school activities, the work activities, and we get so focused in on the now, we forget there's a then. And we ought to be living now for then. Because when we're living for the moment, for just the second, we're forgetting about eternity. And so with eternity in mind, we live now, but for then. Big difference. And so, I mean, we're born into this world and we've been given a time clock, every one of us. And we don't know that time clock. I have no clue. But we know that as long as we're in this life, it is now. And oftentimes that's all we do is we live for now, but we're forgetting that one day I will walk through the doors of death. And then, one day, I will face the creator of the universe, the one who made me, conformed me in the womb, and then there's a time when I will stand before him and have to give an account and judge, and so I need to be living for them. And the Bible teaches us that. And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning as we prepare for communion, because communion talks about now and then. And so when we leave here, I want us to be individuals that are the now and then. We live now for then, to bring him honor and to bring him glory. But Paul, talking to the Corinthians, he says, you know, right now, we're fairly limited. Right now, we see in a mirror dimly, but then, what was Paul thinking about? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. To stand there before him, to have our answers, our questions answered. And I don't know that we'll get all of them answered, but then. So now we look in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. The Apostle Paul was one who lived for now, but for then. And he had that mindset, and he was reminding the believers. The Bible reminds us of that and the importance of it. And the psalmist said, blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk now in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. now. That's what I should be doing. And that's what you should be doing. Every morning that you wake up and God has blessed you with a lung that will suck air and a heart that's still beating, you need to be living now for then. So we're living in obedience. That's what it really narrows down to. Every day that we're given, we evaluate our life, the gifts that God has given to us, the blessings that He's given to us. And so we're striving to live now, but for then. And so yesterday, today, tomorrow, for all eternity, that's my goal. That's my objective. And chances are, when you and I walked in those doors this morning, this wasn't what we were thinking. Was it? It's so easy just to get caught up in life and just to do those things that we naturally do. We get caught up in the routine. We get caught up in the tradition. Brenda and Abby, I watch some of it. I'm not a huge fond of it, but fond of it. But the Fiddler on the Roof, you familiar with it, the movie? And the whole theme there, the bottom, I mean, it's a great movie and all of that, but the bottom line is that these religious folks do things for tradition. And tradition isn't good all the time. And the book is nice, but oftentimes it's not really glorified in the sense that it's number one. And you and I can fall into that trap to where we begin to just live life out of routine and out of duty and tradition and ritual, and we forget that I should be living now for then. Jesus taught that. Very familiar passage, and I just started it, you would be able to remember it, but he said this, Don't. Do not lay up treasures on earth. Now. That's not your goal. It's not what you're here for. So he said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust doth destroy and where the thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Then, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal, and where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Can I go back to Fiddler on the Roof for a moment? You know how it kind of ends? When the law is passed that all these Jews, they've got to get out. They've got to leave everything. And that's one thing I like about this particular movie, is because when they're told they have to leave and they're facing that and they're packing everything, then they begin to evaluate. It's really just a board. It's just a cloth. It's nothing. And they leave it all. And that's what Jesus is saying. We have to be careful because we live in a culture, we live in a world, we live in a mindset where everybody thinks of now. And one day, it's all going to burn up. I can't take any of this stuff with me. And yeah, I can leave it behind, and that's an honorable thing, but those that you leave it behind to really don't appreciate it. Not like you do. And so Jesus is saying, don't live for now. Live for then. Don't be focused on your treasures here on this earth. It's all going to be gone. It's all going to be destroyed. It's going to be wiped away. But put your treasures in heaven, because wherever your treasure is, that will be where your heart is also. And if you're living for now, your treasure's now. But if you're living for then, your treasure's then. And that's where your heart is. We have Old Testament examples. An interesting thing about the Old Testament saints, Joe was asking you to raise your hands, but you got your hands on one of these? They didn't have one. They didn't have one. And not only did they not have one, but what they had was the Old Covenant, the Old Testament. They didn't have the New. They did not read the whole story. They didn't know all the details. They didn't know how it ended. And yet, with their limited knowledge, with their limited understanding, with their limited ability, they lived for them. The writer of Hebrews says, "These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having then seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth." For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland, but as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, and he has prepared for them a city. They lived for them. The Old Testament saints. They didn't read. To die is gain. They hadn't read. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. They hadn't read those promises, and yet they believe and they live for then rather than now. And so we have to evaluate that. Communion is a reminder of that. So take your Bibles, if you will, and go with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 26. Matthew, chapter 26. And in Matthew 26, Jesus is teaching. And starting in verse 26, Jesus says, "Now, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body.' And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink it, drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many, for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.'" You see what Jesus is saying? As he passed around that cup, he was reminding them of what he was about to do for them. But he also told them to remember this with a hope that one day in the future, in heaven, they would join him one more time and to be with him. And so when we partake in communion, it's a now reflecting on the past, but it's also the hope of then when we get to be with him and spend eternity with him. And then Paul, talking to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. If you've got your Bibles, I'd ask that you would turn there as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I want to walk slow through this. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 17. Paul's writing to this church, and if you're familiar with the book, if you're familiar with this church, you know that this body of believers, they wouldn't have been, nor would they ever be, written as the example to follow in doing church. They were human, just like a lot of our churches. At this particular church, there were people taking sides. They were fighting amongst themselves. They were following men more than following Christ. There were some who followed Peter, some that followed Paul, and some that thought they were really spiritual, said they followed Christ. It was a church that almost celebrated immorality. They thought that, you know, because they're a loving church and they just let anybody come in and worship and be a part of them, and they never say anything is wrong. They would never call sin sin. And they had a man that was having an affair with his stepmother. And they just closed their eyes and said, "We're such a loving church, it doesn't matter how you live. We're just a loving church." And Paul has to write to them and say, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa." It's a church that's got a lot of problems. And so as he writes this, I find it very, very forward of Paul. Because in verse 17 he says, "But of the following instructions," in other words, that's which I'm going to be teaching you, "but of the following instruction, I do not commend you. Because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. Now, yeah, Paul is writing this, but this is God's evaluation of a church, of a local church. And God is saying to this particular church, when you come together, it's not for good. It's actually for worse. He wasn't happy with them. Verse 18, for in the first place, when you come together as a church, now, did you catch that? We don't come to the church. We are the church. This is just a building. But he says, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And I believe it in part. For there must be factions among you in order for those who are genuine among you may be recognized. But when you come together, it is not for the Lord's table that you eat. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry, another gets drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and to drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, I will not. He wasn't happy. In verse 23, for I received from the Lord that I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me, thinking of the past. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever, therefore, eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself, then, and so eat the bread and to drink the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment to himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. Now, what I find about this text is it's exciting. As discouraging as it is, it's exciting. Because he introduces what he's going to teach to a church that's got problems. There's sin in the camp. And nowhere does he say, you can't have it. Communion. He doesn't say, you're not worthy to partake in communion. Because if he said that, you know what? None of us are worthy. None of us are worthy. Nor does he say, it's okay. It's okay. Your sin, it's okay. There's divisions among you. You guys are fighting and bickering and all. It's okay. No big deal. God just loves you. He doesn't say that either. What does he say? He says, take a moment before you partake and examine yourself. And examine yourself. And deal with those things. The sin in our lives, the things that are between me and my loving Lord, we need to just deal with it, just right then and there. And that's what he says, examine yourself, take care of it, and then you partake. But he does warn us that if we're not willing to deal with those issues, if we're not willing to deal with those sins, if we're not willing to call it what it really is, then it's best to let it pass. But Paul was an example of this. In the book of Philippians, we find him reminding the church there. He says, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let all of those who are mature think this way. Paul said, I haven't arrived. I'm not there. But one thing I do, I set the past aside and I keep focused. And that's what we all should be doing. So I'd like us to just take a moment right now and in silence with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I would like you just to take a moment and answer the question that we started out with. Are you a now and then person? Are you really living now for then? Is eternity in your radar? Is eternity in the scope? Is eternity in your focus? If not, just talk to him and confess that to him and say, God, I am sorry. I am so focused on the here and the now, I forget. Maybe you're here this morning, you don't know the Lord as your Savior. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that sin is what separates us. Communion is just a great reminder of what Jesus did for our sins. And if you walk through those doors and you don't know Jesus, then right now is a good time to do that. And all you do is just say, God, I realize I'm a sinner. I've sinned against you. I've sinned against others. And I want to be forgiven. And I realize that Jesus went to the cross of Calvary. His body was broken. His blood was shed for my sins that I could be forgiven. And I realize there's no hope apart from him. And I place my faith and trust in Jesus Christ and him alone. Father, thank you. Thank you for the reminder. Thank you for this time together this morning with these, your people. And I pray that through the songs that we've sung, through the passages that we've looked at in partaking in communion, that we have been reminded to be the now and then kind of people. That we live now, but for then, for eternity. For it is our desire to hear you say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.